chapter 2, verse 1, familiar text. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word and the singing and fellowship we've had. And now, Lord, we want to fellowship with you. I pray you speak to each heart that's here, Lord, that we're aware of your presence. Lord, maybe somebody here that's never trusted you for their salvation, never called on your name. We pray today will be that day. What a blessing that would be. And we ask that and put this whole service into your hands. In Jesus' name, I pray. Are you ready for Christmas? The title of the message, that's a familiar, probably the most familiar phrase that we hear this time of year is, "Are you ready for Christmas?" I went to Walmart the other day, was getting stuff, and there was a young guy, a young cashier, and the guy asked me that, of course, said, "You ready for Christmas?" And, you know, I was just ready. You know, people say things like, "How you doing?" all the time, and they don't really care. He said, "Are you ready for Christmas?" And I started to say, "Yeah." And I went, "No." I said, "Matter of fact, no, I'm not ready. I hadn't done any Christmas shopping. We didn't even have all, this was Monday, I think. We didn't even have all the stuff on the tree yet. Was just running behind this year, a lot going on, and I wasn't ready. But I'm going to tell you what, this is the way it is. I said, next Saturday, a week from today is Christmas Day. It don't matter whether you're ready or not. December 25th, let me put it this way, December 25th is going to be here. If the Lord don't come back, it's going to be here next, and I guess it'll still, if the Lord comes back, maybe they got a calendar operating that way, I don't know, in heaven, but it'll still be December 25th, I guess. But you know, but Christmas coming, now this is what I want you to think about this morning. Are you ready for Christmas? For a lot of people, Christmas, the real meaning behind Christmas, it never really comes for them. You think about our text today about having a baby. You mamas know about this. And think about if you had a ton of kids, it's a little different. But I don't know that, you know, if you're with child, if you're going to have a baby, ready or not, the baby's coming. You know, there's going to be a day that the baby's going to come. And you think about your first child, you know, I don't know that anybody's totally ready for that, you know, maybe if you have 10 kids, you might not be totally ready for the 10th one either, but that first one that comes along, you know, maybe you're not ready for that either, but the baby's going to come just the same. It doesn't matter. And I think about Mary and her life and that point in her life from what we know from the Bible and things. We know that Mary was pretty young. They were spoused pretty young. She was married pretty young. And I don't know that Mary was ready. We think about, totally ready. And I mean, it's like, you know, those of us that are parents wish that, you know, after you raise your kids, if you could go back and start over again, you know, there'd be a whole lot of things that we would know. But it's like trial and error. You know, you get the first child. I mean, they've got books and this and that, but it's not the same as the experience. You know, so you kind of wish like you raise a couple kids up, think, oh, if I started over, and all parents look back and say, boy, if I had to do it over again, I would do a big list of things that we would do differently, right? So Mary's not at this point in her life with all that was going on. An angel appeared and spoke to her and spoke to Joseph, and thinking about being ready for that, for the news that she had, the news that was going on. So everything in her life that were going on was going on with her, and then everything that was going on with Joseph. You know, at least they probably didn't think they were ready. Obviously, God thought they were. God wouldn't have done what He did. He knows. A lot of times, I think so many times in our lives, we think we're not ready for something. I remember when I felt like God was calling me to preach or calling me to be a pastor, I thought, oh man, no, I'm not ready. You know, but a lot of people go through their whole life not being ready to do something maybe that God's leading them to do or pushing them to do. And they think that. And so here was Mary, young, engaged, Joseph, spouse to Joseph. He's probably not ready for this. And then to top it all off, it says in the Bible that it was tax time. You know, they had tax time back then. One of our most wonderful times of the year. We can sing that song, tax time's coming up. And so, we think about that. I don't think tax time comes at a good time for anybody, but think about in those days being with a child, the way you had to travel. Also most people probably didn't. They didn't have babies in hospitals. People were used to having them at home, and people knew more about that, I guess, as a whole, having them. But then having to travel away from your family or whoever could help you. It was Mary and Joseph, and she's with child, and they're traveling to Joseph. His hometown. That's where you went to be taxed. And they had to do that and travel being the way it was. And then we've read in our text and kind of going along with our play, we found out, I believe, like I said, we don't know. I mentioned Sunday night that, you know, our play was fictional based on what could have happened. But as far as we know, the inn was just filled when they got there. That was just the way it was. Everybody else was coming to town for the same reason. So we think about that time in their life, having a child, having to travel, having tax time coming, then getting ready to deliver the child at that time. And we think about, I guess that was the first Christmas rush that we've ever heard about, you know, and it's the same way ever since. So it was a hectic time, a stressful time. It was a rush time. I'm sure they would have rather got the taxes paid, and then been able to get back home before the baby came. But God had other plans. Amen. And so we ponder this question, are you ready for Christmas? That's the gist of the question that I want us to be thinking about this morning. And I will look a little deeper than the superficial readiness that we think is being ready for Christmas, or what most people are talking about when they ask you, are you ready for Christmas? Because most of the world is not ready for Christmas in the sense that God intended. They're not ready for Christmas yet. We think about the world today. Number one, the first point is we see, we know the world is ready commercially. The world is ready commercially. And, you know, we think about the main point of the play that we did last week, where Marcus had to decide between taking the money or putting the people that were rightfully first, allow them to go first, and, you know, taking that money. And, it went right along with that. And so, you know, we look at the world today. Now, as far as the reality of God, Jesus Christ, the acceptance of Him, the world's not ready for that. But the world is ready to capitalize commercially on Christmas. They may not want you to put a manger out on any government property. But you can't say Merry Christmas in certain places, which I'll talk about in a minute. All those things are out there for you today. They don't want to acknowledge Jesus Christ, but the world is ready commercially to capitalize on Christmas. Christmas decorations have been out since before Thanksgiving. The stores get all packed up with all the decorations out there. And so you'll start buying them. Used to aggravate my mom. My mom didn't want to see that stuff till after. She wanted the holidays to be in order. She wanted Thanksgiving to be over with. But I get it. It gets by in a hurry, doesn't it? And so the world's ready for that. And, you know, we a lot of the stores, they go out there now. I went down to the mall. I go to the mall once a year, whether I need it or not. I go down there at Christmas time, and I'll walk around and look around. And all the stores, 30% off, 50% off. And they say that the stores, they make the most money. They depend on the Christmas season to make enough money to, like, get them through the rest of the year. That's what they depend on. And I'm thinking, why don't they have 50% off all the rest of the year? If they make the most money during Christmas time, they'd get a lot more business throughout the year, right? But they're ready for that. So we know after that, day after Thanksgiving is called Black Friday. You know what a zoo that is if you go out there. You're getting ready to do all your Christmas shopping. This is the commercial side of Christmas. A few years back, I'd gone on my deer hunting trip, fell on Thanksgiving week, and we went down there. Well, we came back for Thanksgiving. And so the day after, I was going to go back down to the camper. I don't think Kyle could go. And so Sherry said she'd go along with me. So we were riding back down 81. It was on Black Friday. And I forgot about that. It was in the afternoon. And we got down to Withville, and I said, hey, let's stop at Walmart. I was thinking about picking up something there at Walmart. They have the sales on. My other camper didn't have. I was going to get a little TV set to put in there. And boy, we forgot. I pulled in the parking lot. Man, it was like a three-ring circus. And then we went in Walmart, and I'm not exaggerating this one bit. This is exactly how it was, and Sherry will tell you the same thing. The lines from the cash register, it was a regular size Walmart, just like the ones we got. You know how they're all the same. The lines from the cash register were all the way to the back of the store. People were in line. People were running around. They had baskets filled up with everything that was on sale. I went in there. It was crazy. I said, I wouldn't stand in that line that they were giving the TV set away for free, but you just had to go through that. No, I'm not. I'll pay full price before I say, I'm not. From the front of the store to the literal back of the store. They had the front of the store roped off with like the yellow police tape, wouldn't let you go to those bathrooms. All I was going to go to the bathroom on the way out. They said, no, you can't go to this one. You got to go all the way back to the store, back of the store. I said, no, I ain't going back through all that just to go for that. I mean, this is how, and it's like, that's just a microcosm of what was going on all over the place. So Black Friday shopping, man, I mean, it is crazy. It's crazy. Somebody said it's a bunch of people buying things they can't afford with money they don't have to give to people that they don't like in the first place. That's about the size of it, right? And so, as I said, the world doesn't want to acknowledge Jesus, but it doesn't mind making money off of his birthday. See, the world's looking at the commercial side of Christmas. And then also the trend, as I say, to avoid saying even Christmas, because they done figured out. See, for years they couldn't figure it out. They figured out that Christ is in the first part of Christmas. Went by the middle school. The elementary school over there at Fincastle the other day, they had on the sign, the winter program. They're going to have the winter program. I went to the bank down here, and the lady said, at a cashier at the window said, happy holidays. I started to ask her, what holiday? You see what she say. Huh? It's Christmas, right? But I'm sure they were told not to say it. You know, they don't want you saying a lot of places, Merry Christmas. I'd have never thought when I was younger that this would be the deal. You know, I just never would have thought this in a million years, that this is what, it's not only our nation, it's the world. It's the world. Listen, we're rolling up closer to the end times, brother. It's coming up that way. I aggravate them, though. I say Merry Christmas when they say that and put it on there right there. And so, the world is worried about the word Christmas offending somebody. It offends me if we don't use it, but they're not worried about that. But the world wants to make that dollar off of the holiday. So the world is ready commercially, but the world's not ready really for Christmas. And then the world is ready socially. We look what goes on socially at Christmas time, and we do it too. There's parties and visits. I was telling Sherry the other day, I remember my parents, we would go visit somebody, like my mom and dad worked with them. We'd never visit them no other time of the year. But it seemed like every year at Christmas time, we'd go to somebody's house that we'd never been to before. We never went back. We never visit, and then the next year we'd visit somebody else. It was fun. I mean, it was cool. You get to go to somebody else's house, see their decorations, and, you know, they'd have a little snack for you and all that. And we did that once a year, but people do that. Trips to relatives' houses, relatives you don't like. You go see them. Yeah, you know, we have a song about it, Over the Hill and Through the Woods to Grandma's House We Go, right? That's going around Christmas time. Million dollar Christmas card industry. The price of them now is probably $1 billion industry around Christmas cards and then the rush to get the cards mailed out or not. If you didn't get a Christmas card for us, it's because we're so far behind. You'll probably get them by Easter. They should be there, right? So you get those things. I read a story about a man that he decided that he was going to send out Christmas cards to people that he didn't know. He sent out 600 Christmas cards. He went in the phone directory, and just mailed them to random people in the Salt Lake City, he got the directory out of Salt Lake City or mailed them out all over the United States, I guess, to different places. And he got 117 responses back from 600 Christmas cards that he sent out to people that he didn't know. One lady wrote this. She said, "It's good to hear from you. Your card arrived the day I got home from the hospital. What an encouragement to hear from an old friend." See, you know how bad your memories can be, right? Another one wrote, "I have to admit that when we received your card, we couldn't really picture you. We had to think hard before it came to us. By the way, give our regards to your father. He is such a wonderful man." Hey, you know what I was thinking? If the cards weren't so expensive, this would be kind of fun to do. 600 Christmas cards, you better have a wad of cash on you in your hands unless you get the cheap one. The best one said, "It was so good to hear from you after all these years. By the way, we are going to be in the Salt Lake City area next summer. Would it be all right if we spend a few days with you?" Yeah, come on down. So those things go on. We got a card the other day, and I looked at it, and it said, I was looking at the name, and I said, "I don't know this guy." Sherry looked, and she said, "You know, it might be the tax guy." Ironically, goes with the tax, right? The tax guy said, "Yeah, you know, I think I couldn't remember what his the guy that actually deals with my stuff." I said, "It may be him right there." So, you know, we think about Christmas season as the season arrives, the Christmas season, but whether we really are ready for Christmas in the biblical sense, it arrives at the church as well. You know, we put up the decorations every year, the manger scene, we got that. We have the play. We have started singing the Christmas songs as we always do. And, you know, the kids went out caroling. Did y'all go Wednesday? You went out Christmas caroling, which was kind of neat. You know, and all those things happen at the church. But we think about that, and I'm getting to the main point. Are you ready for Christmas spiritually? Spiritually. We probably ready. The world is ready commercially. We may be ready socially and commercially, but then what about spiritually? Most of the world's not ready for Christmas spiritually. A few in Joseph and Mary's day were looking. We know we talked about that last week, I think, or the week before. They were looking for things, but not many. Not many people really looking. God spoke to the ones that were, but not many. Satan wasn't ready for Christmas, huh? Satan spent his whole career from the beginning of time, from Adam and Eve's day all the way through. He did everything he could to prevent the birth of Christ. Everything that he could think of, lied, stole, tried to get people off track. He tried to interfere with the genealogy of Christ through the line of Christ. He tried to interfere with that on the human side of things. He tried to prevent that. He attacked Jesus in his life. We know about in the wilderness when he attacked Jesus in his life. He did everything he could to keep Christ off the cross so that he wouldn't be paying for the sins of the world. And when we think about today, the world that we live in today, listen, the church and God's people are being attacked. A constant part of why we can't say Christmas, why we can't mention Jesus, why they don't want manger scenes on government property, all those things that we see going on in the world today, all that's part of the attack that because Satan couldn't keep him off the cross, but he did. But now what's his goal? His goal is to keep everybody that he can from being saved, from knowing the Lord, knowing what the real meaning of Christmas is all about. He's doing all he could. We think about in the days of Joseph and Mary, when Herod, you know, of course, we get the Christmas story kind of blended up. And I remember when I was a kid, I had a hard time. I couldn't get it sorted out when I was saved and I read the Bible and I studied. We get the wise men kind of connected with the birth of Christ. But the wise men wasn't for about 2 years. Jesus might have been up to 2 years old by the time the wise men came looking for him. That was down the road. But Herod was involved with that. And, you know, and Herod, and listen, Herod was just a puppet in the hand of Satan. And, you know, he was trying to kill off the Christ back before Jesus could get to the cross because he knew what was going to happen. And so what he did was he wanted all the children under a certain age killed. But he told the wise men, you know what he told them? He said, well, you know, when the wise men came from the east, we're looking for a king, they said, and a star has led us and we're looking for this king. And he said, oh, hey, listen, when you find him, you come back and let me know because I want to come worship him too. What a lie. That's how Satan, he was going to lie. He didn't want to come worship, he wanted to have him killed. And the wise men, the Lord spoke with them, dealt with them and said, don't go back. Don't go back that way. They went back another way. And when Herod found out they weren't coming back, boy, he went off and he wanted his men. They went to Bethlehem area and they killed all the children, all the male children under a certain age that had them killed. Just think of that, slaughtered all those babies. That's how, and that's the hand of Satan. That's how desperate that he was getting to have all them children killed so that he couldn't come, that Jesus would not get to the cross and be the Savior of the world. And so, you know, most of the world is like those that were at the crowded inn, represented more so by the crowded inn, not represented by the innkeeper. I'm not throwing any aspersions on the innkeeper. He just, like I say, the place was probably busy. It was already filled up when they got there. It makes perfect sense. But I'm talking about the crowded inn itself. Most of the world is like that crowded inn right there. So many things going on in their life that they don't have any room for Jesus in their heart. It's not that, you know, a lot of people, they don't have any problem. It's not a problem with Jesus. They don't really have, it's not an issue. It's not even the fact that there's a lot of people that wouldn't say that they wouldn't say that they don't believe. They believe that there's a Jesus and all that. It's just their life is so busy. It's another tool of Satan. The Christmas rush is another deal that Satan's got his hand in. Man, he gets you with your mind, so many things in the fire. I said last week with everything that went on, I mean, they were all real things. I mean, we had the play, the float, Mike's mom and dad in the hospital. His father passed away. We had funeral service that had to go on. I preached two times over at the school where Charlie goes. It was just a million and one things going and going and going. The encouragement night. I tell you what, my plate was full, man. I told Sherry, I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit. And I said, you know, I just want, we have a tradition in our around our house. We watch some of the old Christmas movies. We watch White Christmas. So that was already on the schedule for the other night. So we watched. But I said, you know what? It's so many things, man, in your mind. You can't have time to think about and meditate about the birth of Christ. Now, man, I mean, it's just like you can't. And so part of that is what Satan does as well. And our hearts get so crowded. Then there's our side. I'm not going to blame Satan for everything. We got our self-centered selfishness and our agenda that we have in our hearts. And a lot of us are so crowded. And a lot of people, those in the end, I always thought about this. I think about things in the Word of God when I read the stories. They saw Mary and Joseph if they came, and there's a woman with child. Well, she's about to deliver a child. Wasn't there somebody in there with enough compassion to say, look, some man maybe that was by himself, say, look, I'll give him my room and I'll go out. But you know what? When you're on, maybe they didn't notice. Maybe they didn't. They didn't have time to notice. They were on their agenda, their plan, their schedule, all those things. They didn't notice Jesus at all, and that's what's going on in the world today. There's so many people in the world that are living their lives. They don't notice Jesus. They know about him. They know he exists. A lot of people know that Christmas, what it's all about. But do they take time to worship Jesus? Do they ask Jesus into their heart? Have they received the gift of Christmas? I spoke about a few weeks ago. Have they received that? You know, when you think about this, the church, I'm talking about even with the church people themselves, you know, and the world here, you know, it's getting worse and worse. And now, like I said, the government, they don't want you to put manger scenes up and all that. Boy, you think they got a problem with the manger? They really get uptight when it comes to the cross, huh? They really get uptight. I remember when we were over in with Iraq and Iran dealing with them, and a guy that I worked with had been over there in the military, and he got out. We were working together, and he said, "Man, they were in Saudi Arabia," which we were kind of helping Saudi Arabia out. He said we were walking down the street. He said my buddy had a cross around his neck, a little metal, you know, a metal cross. He said, man, one of them military guys came up. He said, we didn't understand a word he said. But, buddy, he had hate in his breath. hate in his voice, and he was looking at that, pointing at that cross. And I mean, he said, my buddy had to put it down in his t-shirt. We knew what he meant, man. They didn't want to see that cross over, even though they didn't mind us helping them out, you know, with that USA flag on your shoulder right there. They didn't mind it. And a lot of people see the baby Jesus doesn't bother them too much. You know, they're not offended by that. But boy, when it comes to the church, it's the same way. I'm talking about people that are in church. They don't mind the baby Jesus. They want his blessings, but they don't want his cross. They want his forgiveness, but not his judgment. They want his salvation, but not his service. They want his love, but not his lordship. They want his hallelujahs, but not his holiness. That's the way it's getting to be. You know, we're getting this cafeteria-style thing going on in the church where you pick and choose what you want about that. And so we think about that. I mean, you know, most of the world is not ready. Even the church is not ready spiritually for Christmas. He said, peace on earth. We got songs about it. It's in the Bible, as a matter of fact. It's in our text down there just a little bit in verse 14. Peace on earth. Listen, man, we don't have peace on earth. We don't have it in the church. Listen to me carefully. There's as much hate, grudge-bearing, backbiting, bitterness, fornication, adultery, pride, lovelessness, self-centeredness, critical attitudes, unforgiveness. There's as much coming through the church door as there is going through the bar door.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, every week. It's like that every week, everywhere. We're not ready for Christmas. Jesus was born in a filthy, stinking, lowly stable. We always got these cute little pictures. And you know what? If we'd have had that little manger scene, you know how we'd have really got it real authentic? Take it out there and get some cattle just to slobber in that thing, huh? Flies, let's get some flies, throw them in here. We had them one time when we brought some hay in here. Put the flies in there and get a bunch. Think about that cattle slobbering and drooling in that thing. She had to lay that baby in a manger. And I thought about that. How appropriate. A picture of the world that Jesus came to be born in. A filthy, stinking, lowly world. A world full of sinners. And he came that way for a reason. He had a reason. Humility. Humility. See, man wouldn't have wrote it up like this. We'd have had him born in a palace with a gold cradle. Servants and people with bowing down. But no, God said, no, listen. It's humility. And this is the reason. If you're going to come to Jesus and really be ready for Christmas, you're going to have to get off your high horse. You're going to have to get everything that's between you and him put away. Come away from the farce of the life that you're living. Quit looking down your nose at others. And confess your sin. That's how you come to Jesus. That's how you get ready for Christmas. That's how you get ready. Humble yourself and confess your sin. Jesus came to save us from what we are more than what we've done. We do what we do because of what we are. He came to save us from what we are. And unless you've been saved, and I mean confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, ask him to forgive you of your sins. Unless you've done that, you are not ready. You are not ready spiritually for Christmas. You may have everything else squared away, all your shopping done, all your decorations up, all your plans made, everything's ready, nothing else to do, if there's ever when we get to that point. But until you confess what you are, and turn to him for forgiveness to deal with what you are not ready for Christmas. Paul, come, we're going to have an invitation. You can get ready.